Would you please open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? And go ahead and project it. If you would, we're going to sing a song here in just a moment, number 326. I want to start by thanking the elders for the hard work that they do. We appreciate the guidance that they offer to us and the leadership there that is offered to us through their oversight. We know it's not a work that often gets many accolades, but we certainly appreciate the fact that they do it and they watch for our souls, and we're so appreciative of that. As Jeff mentioned, in the 9 o'clock hour, the theme that the elders have set forth for the congregation in this next year is trust and obey. And we can't really think about that without the words to this song coming to mind. And I'd like us to just sing it together and then talk a little bit as we end our time together about a text in Romans chapter 8. Let's sing all four verses of Trust and Obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a burden we bear, not a sorrow we share, but our toil He doth richly repay. Not a grief or a loss, not a frown or a cross, but is blessed if we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But we never can prove the delights of His love until all on the altar we lay. For the favor He shows and the joy He bestows are for those who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
I want to also express my appreciation for the continued support that this congregation offers me. I appreciate the support the elders offer me as well. I count it an honor to serve for this congregation. As we think about this idea of trust and obey, as the elders ask me to kind of offer a lesson echoing that theme, Brady had mentioned, you know, that's really a rather deep concept. We may think of it as rather simple, but there's a lot to it. Obviously, all of us have known some who have lost trust in the Lord, and as a result of that, will become disobedient. We may not always think of it in those terms, but if I come to a point in my life where I no longer want to keep obeying what the Lord has to say, it is because I no longer trust in Him. I no longer want to put my hope in Him for the things that I aspire to in life or the things that I aspire to in the life which is to come. In Romans chapter 8, I'd like for us to look at just a few verses and to think a little bit about times in which we must trust and still obey. Because I think there are those times in our life where it may be harder than other times to continue to just keep going. Jeff mentioned in the 9 o'clock hour that there are those times where, you know, we don't do what we ought to. We don't do what the Lord commands us. And I appreciated that example that's offered in the text that he read to us of Peter, you know, at your word, I will do what you say. Are we going to have that kind of obedience? We need to trust and obey, even in those times when we don't really understand why the Lord has commanded certain things or why the Lord has allowed certain things. We need to trust and just keep obeying. Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 28, says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose, for whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He predestined, those He also called. Whom He called, those He also justified. And whom He justified, those He also glorified." We talked about this passage in our adult class this morning, and especially in light of the wording, whom He predestined. And we made the observation that, as you can see from first verse of this chapter, he has predestined that those in Christ will be saved. Why is it that we need to continue to trust even when it doesn't seem to make sense? Why would He command me to do this? Why would He allow me to go through this in life? We should trust because He has promised us that justification and that glorification and that hope of eternal life in heaven that lies beyond this life. We should trust and still obey even when others hurt us, or when there are those times when others lose faith, or those times when others disappoint us. Continue reading with me verse 31 and go down with me to verse 32. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things?" Do we allow what other people do, either to us or to themselves or in their walk with the Lord, do we allow that to interfere with our relationship? If we recognize that God is on our side when we are obeying Him, then how could we let what others do interfere with that? We need to trust and obey because that is where salvation from sin is to be found. There is no other hope. There is no other way that we can look for salvation from sin and the hope of eternal life. We can't go to some other source. It's found in Christ Jesus. Read with me verse 33 and 34. "Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." What other source can there be that can allow us, having been separated from God because of our sin, having been stained by that guilt of sin, to be justified, to be made right? Now, if it's God who justifies, then nobody else can condemn us. unless we abandon our faith. If we recognize how much He loved us, He gave His own Son for us, that we might be reconciled back to Him, He'll give us all things if we abide in Him. You know, as I mentioned, I think one of the reasons that sometimes people lose trust and they stop being obedient, they turn to disobedience, is because of the burdens and challenges of life. We need to trust and still obey, even when life gets hard, even when things don't go the way we expected them to, even when it seems as if it's a burden that we are not able to bear. Verse 35 and 36, notice, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Do you ever feel as if you're just kind of like sheep waiting for the sacrificial slaughter or waiting for someone's meal? You know, I think we need to think about the wording that's here offered. What are we going to allow to separate us from Christ? You know, is it I'm going to serve Him as long as things are going pretty good in my life. I'm going to serve Him as long as I don't face some kind of famine or persecution. You know, the point that Paul makes here is as we abide in Christ, those things can't touch us. But the qualification is we have to continue to trust. We have to continue to look through the cloud and the fog of the hardship of life. And I know it's challenging sometimes, but trust and obey is at the heart of what that's all about. Am I going to, when I face those things I didn't expect to face, am I going to, when I face those things that seem unbearable, am I going to just keep holding on to my trust in Him and continue to be obedient? That's what the gospel calls us to. We need to continue to trust and still obey when the road seems very, very long. Read with me again that wording that is offered there in verse 36. And let's go down on into verse 37. 36 says, as it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. We've got to keep that in our mind. In our adult class this morning, we talked a little bit about those things that are temporary and those things that are eternal. Paul compares our physical bodies to a tent, and we long for that time when we'll be clothed with a glorified spiritual body that he says is eternal. I want us to think about that when it seems like this is just going on, and he shouldn't expect me to bear this for so long. We need to realize we're conquerors. We're victors if we continue to trust and obey. One last reading. We need to trust and still obey, even in those times where we feel helpless. That especially, I think, is when we need to reach out our hands, so to speak, and grab on to the one that has all power, the one that is able to offer help, the one that has all dominion. And I want us to notice how Paul ends this chapter. Read with me verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. And I wonder what, you know, if Paul was writing that now, what would he put to that list? Would he put nor COVID-19, nor political turmoil, nor economic uncertainty, nor, and you fill in the blanks in your own life to think about what those things are that lead you to feel helpless. But notice how he ends. None of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If you're here this morning and you've never been obedient to the gospel of Jesus Christ, I would urge you to put your faith in that one who is eternal, that one who did not spare his own son, but sent him to die for us. Repent of sin that separates you from God. Be reconciled back to God through obedience to the gospel, and put on Christ by being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And start that life in which you will trust and obey. Won't you come? Holy standards.